Good morning, everyone. I'm Joyce Hennis, and I'm coming to you from Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I am so happy to be with you today for my talk titled Abundance, Belief, and Tinkerbell. And I would like to talk about some thoughts, ideas, and experiences that I've had as I've been reading and working with the I'm Rich Beyond My Wildest Dreams, I Am book by Thomas Pauly and his daughter Penelope Pauly. And I would also like to tell some abundance stories in my life. Now, the first thing I'd like to talk about is chapter 25 in the I'm Rich Beyond My Wildest Dreams, I Am book. And it's called The Big Game. It's on page 177. And this is what it says, this little excerpt here. It is all a game. Life, death, wealth, poverty, it is all a game. A real game with your will pitted against your prejudice and your fear. You and Mr. Negative slugging it out in the age-old battle of good over evil. He wants you to quit. He wants you to believe that truth is a lie. He wants you to get into your head and destroy your hopes and dreams. Do not let him. He is scripted to lose. You have seen or read the story many times. Good always wins. The only way to fail is to stop trying, to quit, to do what Mr. Negative wants. So, basically, life is a game. It's a schoolroom, and we are here to learn lessons. It's like a video game, and we can even get killed and keep coming back lifetime after lifetime. When we fully realize and accept that it's a game, that it's illusion, that it's not real, then we do not have to be subject to any fears that tell us whatever is going on around us has power over us. It is no power. It's simply an illusion. So then what is real? Well, in chapter 28, titled Create the Reality, we are told reality is what we believe it is. Now, they also talk about this concept a lot in the book, The Art of Soaring. It's a great book. In that book, they teach us how to become magicians by creating our own reality. So now, getting back to what is real. When we were children, we believed in fairies, and when we played make-believe, everything became real. Our dolls and our stuffed animals were alive, and we had conversations with them. When I was in elementary school, I read every fairy tale in the school library. I knew the stories were true. They're allegories for the path of the adepts, and they show how people win or lose, in some cases, by passing their initiations. I was reading a fairy tale to my grandchildren recently, and I told them, well, you know it's a fairy tale if it starts out with once upon a time and always has to end with they lived happily ever after. And for those of us who follow universal laws, our personal journeys will always end happily ever after. Even if we die, we'll go safely to the etheric retreats. There are no unhappy endings. Well, my nephew was watching the Peter Pan movie the other day. Not that animated Disney one, but there's a newer one with real actors. Okay, I walked by during the part when Tinkerbell was dying. And Peter Pan had to hold a strong enough belief in fairies to bring her back to life. So he started saying with all of his heart, I do believe in fairies. I do. And then it showed children and adults all over the world saying, I do believe in fairies. I do. And then when enough of a faith field was built up, Tinkerbell came alive again. And, you know, it's funny, when I was watching it, I started saying it too. I started going, I do believe in fairies. I do. Well, I do believe in fairies. And all or most of you listening today believe in the nature spirits called elementals, gnomes, undines, sylphs, and salamanders, which includes fairies. And we also believe in angels and ascended masters. And I feel that my mission on earth is to hold the space of belief. As I hold fast to my faith and belief in miracles, in the invisible world and the hierarchies of heaven, so will this belief expand out into the world. So, it's strong belief in the abundance of God and that the universe is taking care of us that makes it real. Now, David was talking in the Archaea class on Sunday about hexes of negative thought patterns that have been placed on us. And people have images of us, and we have images of ourselves that hold us back from being the wonderful, creative sons and daughters of God that we are. We have to have a strong field of believing in ourselves to counteract the hex. And it's important to have an active spiritual practice to hold this faith field for ourselves. And you know, as today in our service this morning, we did our Rosary of Faith. When we give our prayers, it helps to support this faith field. So they played a song in the RKI class by Jackie Evancho called To Believe. And on the same CD, she also sings When You Wish Upon a Star. Her CD is called Dream With Me. Now, I was thinking about the lyrics to When You Wish Upon a Star. I think we all remember that song, Jiminy Cricket singing it and at Disney. Now, I was thinking about the lyrics, and I realized they're really very cosmic. So let's kind of go through it quickly here. When you wish upon a star, okay, stars are part of the universe. Well, the sun is a star. So basically, we make a wish to the universe. When we make a wish to the universe, we're asking the universe to give us what we desire. Makes no difference who you are. Well, we're all sons and daughters of God, and we're all worthy of the universe granting our wishes. Anything your heart desires will come to you. Well, there you have it, the essence of our book. I'm Rich Beyond My Wildest Dreams. They have a formula, and that is list plus visualize plus enthusiasm equals getting what you want. So the wishing on the star is asking or listing. You are visualizing it and getting enthusiastic about it when your heart is desiring it. And then it comes to you. So that's a little formula in alchemy. Then the song goes on to say, if your heart is in your dream, no request is too extreme. And that is something that they also mention in the book. Don't limit yourself. Write down all your desires and make your requests as large as you would like. No request is too extreme. And there's also a line in the song that makes me think of El Morya or Hercules. It's this, like a bolt out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through. Well, who knew that Jiminy Cricket is actually an alchemist? Okay, now I have another excerpt to read from our book. It's chapter 19, page 137, and it's about Mr. Negative. Change, however, comes from two sources. In addition to chemicalization, we must also deal with Mr. Negative. Mr. Negative is fear, our own fear that we are not who we believe we are, that we do not deserve the good we have asked for. Mr. Negative wants us to fail. He wants us to quit. He wants us back in leg irons, enslaved by the tedium of yesterday's reality. He wants us to work long, hard hours, to scrimp and save and struggle to pay our bills. He wants us to lose track of the prize we have set for ourselves, to stop planning for success and accept defeat. Fortunately, Mr. Negative is weak. He works hard, very hard, but he's not nearly as strong as your positive side. He can get you to make mistakes. He can make you question your own good. He can sometimes convince you that everything you believe is a lie. He is full of logic and reason, hate and anger, jealousy and rage. He is everything negative and desperate, but he is weak. If you bring a lamp into a dark room, you get light. If you bring a bucket of darkness into a lighted room, you still have light. Mr. Negative is doomed to lose. He will lose because you have an invincible protector waiting to carry you safely through any attack. You have an impregnable stronghold waiting to ensure your victory. You have the Force. And in Star Wars, the Force is with us. You have the unlimited power of the universe at your fingertips. The secret to dealing with chemicalization or Mr. Negative is to keep your cool. Take a deep breath and say out loud, "This too shall pass." Well, I've been asking the Archei during this Archei class to show me myself, to reveal any negative self-talk. It goes on so subtly and also at subconscious levels, so it's hard to catch sometimes. And we get so used to hearing it, a lot of times we don't even notice it. It's sort of like an old friend who isn't really a friend at all, and you just can't seem to get rid of him. So to Mr. Negative, no matter what you do, it's never good enough. You've never done enough, and what you've done is never done well enough, and there's always guilt heaped on top of it. Well, when you observe these thoughts hanging around you, you can do what David recommended during Sunday's Archei class. When you find yourself criticizing yourself, stop, spend 3 minutes seeing yourself as perfect, as a child. You can visualize yourself as a child of 5. And in that excerpt in the book, that excerpt I just read, it says, take a deep breath and say, this too shall pass. Now, I have had a real breakthrough this year, personally, in simply freeing myself from what others around me may be thinking or saying. It's so liberating to realize that I have the power to not let any of that affect me in any way. And as I free myself, those around me are freed too. I detach myself from whatever they may say or do that is negative. I put on my imaginary giraffe ears, as Marshall Rosenberg would say. I actually do not hear the negativity. I just go, oh my, something is going on. However, I'm free from that. I don't have to react. I'm a happy, positive person. And when there's no reaction, the negativity has nothing to feed on and goes away. Poof. And that's real magic. Now, when I was at the Spring Equinox retreat in Livingston, I drove by a church with a sign, and the sign said, God does not choose the qualified. He qualifies those whom he chooses. Well, that saying really stuck with me. It's easy to think someone more qualified can be doing what we're doing, someone smarter, younger, faster, etc., etc. And that's not the point. God isn't looking for those kind of qualifications. He's looking for a qualified heart, someone who can believe in him and universal good and the path of initiation and never quit. So he chooses the listening hearts, and then he proceeds to qualify his own through life's initiations. He qualifies the ones he chooses. So it's believing in ourselves and believing that the universe will unfailingly take care of us that enables us to live a rich, abundant life. Now, I wanted to give a few examples of how abundance has come into my life. A while back, we had our road dug up in front of the city, was digging up the road in front of our house, putting in new sewers, and it was somewhat of an inconvenience, very noisy, digging everything up. However, what came of that was really lovely. We wound up getting 1/3 of a new concrete driveway. Our driveway was really in need of repair. We had this scraggly old tree out front, which my husband didn't like. I didn't want to hurt the tree's feeling. It was a little scraggly. They wound up having to take out that tree, but they gave us a brand new tree, planted it and everything. So that was great. Now, this little story I told, I believe, at the Spring Equinox retreat, but I just like to say it again for those that didn't hear. It was a day or so after I sent off my 20% tithe check. My husband came running up to my office and told me that he'd gotten the biggest order of his life for 80,000 books. So that was pretty cool. Well, the other thing we've done recently is we refinanced when the rates were low, to get new siding and to remodel our kitchen and a few other things in the house. And the universe sent me the perfect person to manage all this, my son-in-law. Now, this is kind of funny. One day we were in the kitchen. We were having a family dinner, and we're in the kitchen, and one of my daughters suddenly looks at my son-in-law and goes, you know, you look just like Saint Germain. Everybody started laughing and laughing. And, oh, my gosh. I looked at him, I thought, well, he does look like Saint Germain. He's got he has the beard and the eyes and the nose. And, well, at any rate, he is an alchemist. He can do anything that he sets his mind to doing. He remodels apartments and homes. So he found the perfect person to do our siding. And there's a little cute story about our siding. Okay, we had a blue house before. It was painted blue. And all of us in the family agreed it's got to be blue. We want a blue house. And I really wanted a blue house for Archangel Michael. I just felt the strength of his protection. So we had these choices of this siding that were the stock siding. And they had two colors of blue, and they absolutely were not blue. They were gray. They just weren't blue enough. And so we kind of started checking into it, and then we found out that they just opened a factory in Minnesota where they can give you custom colors and bake it on so it will be really strong and last. That's what we wanted. We wanted it to last forever and not have to repaint it ever. So we wound up getting the perfect color that we wanted. It's called Revel Blue. And so that was a great alchemy for that. And I checked that off. I have these all in my, I have my notebook, my spiral notebook that they tell us to have in the book. And I checked that off on my list. And then I've made quite a few lists in my spiral notebook for the kitchen remodel. And I included the phrase that the Pollys have told us to put on our lists. All remodeling items in the kitchen are seeking me as I am seeking them, and the law of attraction brings us together with love and understanding. The kitchen remodel is correct for me. My newly remodeled kitchen is mine by divine right. Now, all of this reinforces that you deserve abundance and are worthy of abundance. We also took family vacations to New York and Los Angeles and Big Sur, which I wasn't sure how they'd be paid for. And the universe took care of it. We wound up staying with family and with friends, and people paid for things, and it just all managed to work out. Okay, now I have a little example of precipitation, a group precipitation of abundance. I was presenting the proposal budget for the 2013 Autumn Equinox book tour to the Charter Review Committee. Now, the first Autumn Equinox tour that we took in 2012, we weren't charging registration fees, so the revenue would have to come from donations. So we budgeted $4,000 in donations to cover expenses, and we got just a little over $4,000 and covered everything. Now, the 2013 tour was going to be bigger and more expansive, and it was time for us to expand our consciousness. It's going to have more expenses. So David and Mona were both going. We had book signing at bookstores that we planned, as well as heart streaming events, and we're going to broadcast as much as possible, and it was all going to be offered for free. So I put in around $12,000 as an amount in donations to cover the expenses. Well, when the committee was reviewing the proposed budget, the master suggested we budget $24,000 for donations. And I have to admit, I was thinking, wow, that's a lot of money. How are we going to get that much in donations? Well, we wrote it down, we put it in the budget, then we asked for it. We put a thermometer on the home page, and we began a campaign for the book tour. Many people donated until little by little we brought in over $25,000. Now, I think this is a great example of group alchemy, because we all work together to come up with the money to fund the book tours, which are ongoing. Now, David mentioned lately a new teaching from El Moria where we can ask for a loan from our causal body. So I wrote a letter asking for resources from my causal body for myself and for the Heart Center so we can fulfill projects for the Brotherhood. If I could pay that loan back with my work on my projects for the Brotherhood. And I burned the letter, and I'm sure this is all going to come to fruition. Now, I would like to leave you today with a thought from our book, I'm Rich Beyond My Wildest Dreams, I Am, I Am, I Am, that the universe has given us the power. All we have to do is ask. Ask and believe, and we create the reality of our dreams. And the end is always going to be happily ever after. So thank you so much. I really enjoyed sharing this with all of you today.